Okay, welcome to Shiur Targum Parshas Vayelech. The Shiur this evening is sponsored by Harvey and Dina Rubel, marking the yard sign tonight of his mother, Blanche Rubel. The neshama should have an aliyah. She see much nachas ruach in the Torah mitzvahs and ma'isim tovim that the family is involved in. So Parshas Vayelech starts out with Moshe Rabbeinu, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Beis, telling the people, Vayomer Aleihem, Ben Me'avesim Shana Anochi Ayom. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know, I'm 120 years old today. Lo Uchal Od Lotzeis V'lovo. I'm no longer able to go out and to come in. Simple pshat. As an old man, he's 120 years old. It's not so easy for him to get around anymore. This is a simple pshat in the pasuk. The only problem is, a problem as it were, is that if you look towards the end of Chumash, it describes how Moshe Rabbeinu didn't lose any of his vigor whatsoever down to the last day. Moshe ben Me'ev Esim Shana ben Moso, he was 120 years old when he died. Right, which is that day. In other words, this is the day of his death in Parshas Vayelech. Lo chasa eino, his eye didn't dim. Velo nos lecho, and none of the vigor, the liquids, you know, inside of him, none of that diminished in any way. In other words, he was as vigorous on the last day of his life as if, you know, he was at 120. He was like he was 20. You know, in other words, there wasn't any diminution whatsoever of his powers. So then what does it mean? La'uchal od, lotzeis v'lovo. So Rashi addresses this, he quotes the Gemara from Sota. Yocho shetoshash kocho. Might you think that this means that Moshe Rabbeinu is incapable of coming and going? Talmud lomar locho aso eino v'lo nos lecho. We just quoted the pasuk, you know, he didn't lose any vigor whatsoever. Ehu elo mahu lo'uchal. What does it mean that I'm not capable of coming and going? Eini rashai. It's not that there are physical restrictions on my coming and going. Physically, he was fine. But I'm not given permission to continue coming and going. And coming and going, apparently, in this context, means to serve as your leader. In other words, I'm no longer able to come and go and do this and do that. Shenitlo mimeni horishus v'nitno liyoshua. The leadership of Klal Yisrael, the rishus over Klal Yisrael, was taken away from me, was given to Yoshua. So in other words, my time as a leader has come to an end. That's what it means, la'uchal od, lot seis v'lovo. I'm not given permission anymore to do these things. From the Targum Unculus, one gets the impression that's not the way he understands the pasuk. The Targum Unculus says, v'omar lahon bar me'o ve'esrin shnin ano yom adein, les ano yochil od. I'm no longer able. He translates the word uchal as yochil. I'm no longer able to come and go. The impression you have is that the Targum Unculus adapts that which Rashi rejects as the Hava Amina. Rashi says, you know, it can't be that it means that he can't physically move around because, after all, we know that he was vigorous till the very, very end. Right? So, no, the Targum Unculus translates it that way. So you might say, well, that's not really a proof to anything. Just translating what it says in the pasuk. The pasuk says lo uchal, so the Targum Unculus says lo yochil. It's just a literal translation. How do you know that it means I'm not physically capable of going? So the Mefarshim and Unculus point out that there are other places in Chumash where Targum Unculus does translate the term yochol as lesli reshu, that I don't have permission, I don't have the right to do something, not that I physically can't do it. So, for instance, when Bilam tells the officers who have come to try to get him to curse the Jewish people, that you know, Bilam says, "I'm unable to do you know, anything other than what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells me to do." So there, the Targum Unculus translates the words "lo uchal," that I'm not capable, as "lesli reshu." I don't have the permission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do it. So you see that the Targum Unculus sometimes will translate "I am unable" in the sense "I'm not authorized." That's not the way he translates it over here. He doesn't say Moshe Rabbeinu said "I'm not authorized," you know, to serve as your leader. I'm incapable of serving as your leader. So if that's the case, so we go back to the kasha that Rashi is from the beginning. What do you mean he was incapable of acting as the leader of the Jewish people. He's, you know, the pasuk says about him that he was vigorous down to the very, very end. So there's a Ramban over here, where the Ramban gives a pshat in what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that could fit in with the Targum. The Ramban doesn't quote the Targum, but the idea that he presents could fit in with the Targum. The Ramban writes, you know, when Moshe Rabbeinu says that I'm not capable of you know, of coming and going anymore, what do you mean, says the Ramban? Again, like Rashi says, he was just as vigorous then as he was as a young man. The Pasuk says, nonetheless, Omar lohem kein l'nachamom. Right, says the Ramban, Moshe Rabbeinu told them, you know, I'm an old man, I'm not capable of moving around anymore, I really can't serve as your leader anymore, I'm not physically capable. It wasn't true, says the Ramban. It wasn't true, he's perfectly capable. In other words, had HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to go into Eretz Yisrael, he would have kept going, I don't know for how long, but certainly, you know, his time was not up from a physical perspective. He wanted to make the people feel a little better, you know. You know, I can't lead you anyway. I'm worn out. I'm worn out. I can't do it. It's not really true. He wasn't worn out. But he wanted to calm them down a little bit. They were obviously very, very distraught over the notion that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't going to be leading them anymore. So in a sense, one might say it was a little bit of a white lie, according to the Ramban. That's not really true. He was perfectly capable. But he made it sound like, you know, he wasn't capable of doing it anymore. That shot from the Ramban could fit in with the Targum Onkelos, less ano yochil, you know, I'm not capable, says the Targum Onkelos, in being your leader just because of my physical limitations. Yeah.
What rationale? I'm sitting here thinking, what would lead, according to Rashi, Hashem to revoke Moshe Rabbeinu's power as leader of Am Yisrael? And in other words, the only thing I could think of is that because he couldn't lead them into Israel, there had to be a transition of power. But other than that, I'm saying to myself, it's Moshe Rabbeinu.
Right.
Who
so
else
there
pales in comparison?
Right, so there was the sin of the Meriva, you know, whatever that sin was exactly, let's say hitting the rock as opposed to speaking to the rock. You know, whatever caused Moshe Rabbeinu to be denied entry into Eretz Yisrael, so that, according to Rashi, is that what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the people right now? In other words, I was denied entry into Eretz Yisrael. I'm not allowed to continue being your leader anymore. You know, again, for whatever that sin was exactly, or you know, again, we've quoted in the past the Aruch Hayim and others who say that, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu going in, building the Beis HaMikdash, and it would be forever. Whatever the reason was, you know, so Moshe Rabbeinu was denied the ability to continue being the leader of the Jewish people, and that's what he's referencing, you know, here in this pasuk. So, if we go a little bit further on that topic of transferring the leadership, in Perek Lamanav Pasuk Zayin, Vayikra Moshe LiYoshua, Moshe calls in Yoshua, Vayomer Elov LeEinecho Yisrael Chazak VeEmotz, he says to him, in the eyes of all of Israel, you should be strong and be of good courage, Ki Ato Tovo Es Ha'om Hazeh El Ha'oretz Asher Nishba Hashem Lavosam Loseis Lohem. Oh, right. So it sounds like what the pasuk is saying is that you will bring this people to the land which was promised to them. But as Reb David points out correctly, then it should be instead of tovo. Tovo means you will come. Tovi means you will bring. Right. It should be ki ato tovi es ha'am hazeh. And indeed, a little bit later on in this same parasha, pasuk Chav Gimel, that's the way it's written. Vayitzavis Yoshua binun vayomer chazak ve'emotz ki ato tovi es b'nei Yisrael el ha'aretz asher nishbati lohem. So what happened over here? Why is it tovo as opposed to tovi? This one you can't even blame on Galitz Yaners. You know, it's not even like an u became an e. You know, it's an o. I mean, it's not an e by anybody's calculation. So here Rashi references the Targum. The Targum writes, "Arei at teul im amahodein. You will come in Tovo, you will come in, Es Ha'am Hazeh, with this people. The term S, of course, we know doesn't really have an exact translation in English. It's one of those unique characteristics of the Hebrew language. Usually it just comes before a noun. But sometimes the word S can be translated as im, with. And that's, the Targum tells us, that's the way we're supposed to read it over here as well. Ki ato tovo es ha'om hazeh, you should come in with this people into the land that I have promised to you. So that's a helpful translation, but it's still difficult on two counts. First of all, a little bit later on, as we saw in Pesach Chav Gimel, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to tell Yoshua, Ki ato tovi es ha'om hazeh, you're going to bring this people into Eretz Yisrael. Not simply that you're going to come with them into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. So how do you reconcile the fact that it's expressed, you know, in terms of just coming into Eretz Yisrael in one case and bringing them into Eretz Yisrael in the second case? But more so, it's a very hard pasuk to understand the way the Targum Onkelos translates it, because Yoshua's role is not just to tag along the Jewish people when they come into Eretz Yisrael. Ki ato tovo es ha'am hazeh, you'll come together with these people into Eretz Yisrael. Yeshua is not just, you know, another guy who's accompanying Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. The whole point that Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to convey to him is that you're supposed to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. It makes sense to say, ki ato tovi es ha'am hazeh, you will bring this people. You're the leader. You're not just coming with them. What does it mean over here, you're coming with them? So Rashi quotes the Targum Onkelos, and he says that essentially Moshe Rabbeinu was conveying two different messages to Yoshua. Again, the Targum Onkelos is, you should come together with this nation. Moshe told Yoshua as follows, Zekenim shebador yiyu imecha hakolafi daiton v'atzason. Moshe tells Yoshua, you know the way you should lead the Jewish people? By consensus. You'll come with them. Now again, that doesn't mean that everybody has one vote. You know, that's going to be Hefker. But you know, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yoshua, you know, you're just starting out. You're relatively speaking, you're a young man. You're inexperienced. You know, there are a lot of Zekanim. There are a lot of elders in Klal Yisrael. So you know what? Consult with them. Come together with them. Don't stand at the front and lead them. You know, make sure that you have your council of elders that you consult with, and together you'll figure out how to lead Klal Yisrael. It'll be a little bit of a democracy, at least at the top, you know, with Yoshua and the Zekanim coming together to figure out the best way to lead Klal Yisrael. That's Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Yoshua over here. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar Li Yoshua. But later on in Pasuk Chav Gimel, it describes what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yoshua. Ki ato tovi Es b'nei Yisrael el ha'aretz asher nishbati lohem. Right there, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Yoshua, he speaks to him in terms of, you have to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. Bring them, tovi al karchom. Bring them, whether they like it or not. None of this, I'm a first among equals, I'll consult with the Zekanim, you know, we'll figure out together what to do. No, you're in charge. You're at the top of the pyramid. Hakol toloi b'cha. Everything is dependent on you. If they don't like the way you lead them, tol makil v'hachal kodkodon. Take a stick and smack them on the head. Because, you know, you have to, you know, at a certain point, you have to make the decisions as to the way things are going to go. Dabor echad lador v'lo shnei daborim lador. There's one leader for the generation. You can't have two or more leaders for the generation. In other words, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu is suggesting to Yoshua this model of shared leadership. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself overrules Moshe Rabbeinu and tells him that's not the way it's going to work. If Yoshua is going to share leadership, he's not going to have any leadership. He's not going to be able to lead the people. In the end of the day, that's not just Yoshua's problem. It's Klal Yisrael's problem. If there isn't one person at the top leading the people in the right direction, you know, if everything is consensus. So in the end of the day, you know, the important things that have to get done are not going to get done. So that whole idea from Rashi, who's going to get a Gemara in Sanhedrin, is built on this translation from the Targum. There's an interesting Targum which I think also stands in a little bit of contrast to an even more interesting Ibn Ezra. So we have in the parasha the mitzvah of Hakel, right? That it's coming up this year. It's a year of Hakel. At the end of Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, everyone's supposed to be gathered together, and the Melech reads Sefer Dvarim and for the people to hear. Hakel es ha'om, gather together the people, ha'anoshim, anoshim, ataf, men, women, and children, v'gercha asher b'sharecha, and the ger, the stranger, who is in your gates. They should all come and hear the reading of the Torah that's going to take place in the Beis HaMikdash. Who is this ger? Who is this stranger? So the Ibn Ezra over here writes two words. Gercha ulai yisyahed. Call this stranger to participate in Hakel, perhaps he will become Jewish. Two words. It's a very suggestive Ibn Ezra, because what the Ibn Ezra is implying is that as of now, he's not actually Jewish. In other words, the ger who's being referenced in the Pasuk is what we call a ger toshav. Ger toshav means a non-Jewish inhabitant of Eretz Yisrael who's accepted the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. You know, he's leading a decent moral life, he believes in God, trying to do God's will, but you know, he's not actually Jewish. That's in contrast to a ger tzedek, to a righteous convert who actually is converted to Judaism.
This sounds like you want him to convert to Judaism.
Right. So this Ibn Ezra is the source for the that kind of goes against the common conception. You know, the common conception, which has a lot of sources to back it up as well, is that we don't proselytize. You know, you want to become Jewish, we don't encourage you, we'll facilitate it, but we don't encourage you. The Ibn Ezra over here, at least in this context, seems to be saying, no, there are times when we would want to encourage non-Jews to become Jewish, and Hakel apparently is one of them, says the Ibn Ezra. So it's a very fascinating Ibn Ezra on that level. It seems to imply that there are times, at least, where we would want to encourage non-Jews to become Jewish. But it's also just very fascinating in terms of how he interprets the word v'gercha. V'gercha doesn't mean ger tzedek, a convert, the way it usually does in Chumash. It means, in this context, according to the Ibn Ezra, a ger toshav, a non-Jew who's with the program. In other words, he accepts God, he accepts the Shiva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, but the hope by bringing this non-Jew to Hakel is that he'll actually go the extra mile and actually convert to Judaism. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal and his Emes LeYaakov attempts to show that both the Rambam and the Ramban agree with this Ibn Ezra and hold that a ger toshav is obligated to participate in Hakel as well. And that already ups the ante a little bit. Again, the Ibn Ezra, you know, is a fascinating commentary on Chumash, but usually is not a halachic source. You know, you never asked the shaila of anybody who said, I'm not sure, I have to look in the Ibn Ezra and see how we paskin. Right, the Ibn Ezra is more of a commentary on Chumash, less of we don't usually consult him for Psak, but the Rambam and the Ramban, okay, that's a different story already. Those are already from the Amudei HaHoraa, they're from the pillars of actual practical halacha. So again, we're not zocher to have Hakel nowadays, we're not zocher to have Ger Toshav nowadays, but Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky claims that both the Rambam and the Ramban agree, being sources for those ideas. He claims that both the Rambam and the Ramban agree with this Ibn Ezra that a ger toshav would be obligated in Hakel. The Targum Unculus sounds absolutely not like this Ibn Ezra. The Targum Unculus writes, Kenosh yas ama, gather the people, guvraya unashayo v'tafla, v'giyurach di bekirbach. Giyurach is the typical word for ger, which, again, usually when the Targum Unculus uses it, is meant in the sense of a ger tzedek, a convert. He has another word, dayar, somebody who's living in the land, which is a term that he uses typically for a ger toshav. The term giyorach in the Targum Unculus would seem to indicate that he understands that we're talking about a ger tzedek over here. Again, that's not so surprising, because a simple pshat, in the halacha, is that, a ger tzedek would be obligated in Hakel. It's hard to imagine on the surface a ger toshav being obligated in Hakel. Ger toshav is obligated in Shiva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Hakel is not one of them. But nonetheless, I think it's important to point out that this Targum Unculus seems to be against the Ibn Ezra, So as much as Rav Yaakov Zatzal wanted to stack up the Rambam and the Ramban together with the Ibn Ezra, it does seem like you do have the Targum Onkelos on the other side of the equation, not agreeing with this Chiddush of the Ibn Ezra. There's one translation which is utilized a number of times throughout Parshas Vayelech, because the last part of Parshas Vayelech speaks about the Shira, the song, which is going to be contained in next week's Parsha, in Parshas Ha'azinu. Right? Parshas Ha'azinu is this elaborate song that tells how Klal Yisrael, come in Teretz Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu watched over us throughout our history, we come in Teretz Yisrael. Unfortunately, as we come in Teretz Yisrael, we Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivot, we become fat, you know, we rebel against the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has to punish us. But ultimately, says the Shira Sazinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish those nations that that Hashem used to take vengeance from, you know, against us. And at the end of the day, Klal Yisrael is going to be elevated, you know, our enemies are going to be defeated, but there's going to be a lot of angst, you know, before we get to that point. That's a 30-second summary of Shira Sazinu. Right, so there are a number of times towards the end of Parshas Vayelech where the Shiras Ha'azinu is referenced. Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yutes. V'ato kisvu lochem es hashira hazos v'lamdo es b'nei Yisrael simo b'fiyem. Write down this Shira and teach it to Klal Yisrael. Right, and the number of times afterwards where the Shira is referenced. But Amsa Hashira Hazos Lefanov Le'ed, Vayichtov Moshe Hashira Hazos. Okay, so the word Shira literally means a song or a poem. And we oftentimes assume that something which is a song is a happy song. In other words, something that we sing is something that usually has an upbeat element to it. You know, there are sad songs, that's true, but usually when we talk about singing Shira, it has a very positive, upbeat kind of connotation. The question is, why is the Shira Sazino referred to as a Shira? Because it's really, it's not a very upbeat song. I mean, the content of Shira Sazinu is a little bit depressing, actually. We're going to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's going to punish us. Okay, you know, by the time that you get to the end of the song, okay, so the enemies, the anti-Semites, are going to be punished, and everything's going to work out at the end of the day, but you have to make it to the end of the song. A lot of the song is really not that upbeat at all.
It's not literary, it's poetic.
Okay, so you want to suggest that Shira means something which is arranged poetically. Right, whether or not it's a positive or a negative, whether or not the content is positive and upbeat or negative and kind of down. So that idea is suggested by the Rashbam. So the Rashbam writes, Sidur Varim Karoi Shira. You know, Shira just means something that's organized in a certain poetic fashion. And indeed, you know, you look at the Shira Sa'azinu, in Parshas Ha'azinu, it is arranged poetically. The Rashbam is saying you could have sad poems also. You could have sad songs also. People sing the blues, right? You know, so that's Shira Sazinu. It's not necessarily a song that is joyful in nature, but it's called a song because it's arranged poetically. Yeah.
Is it everything good? Like, if it's according to this point, it might be tough, but it's...
Okay, so you're a big maimon. Obviously, you just came off of Rosh Hashanah, where, you know, you're just building on the tremendous emunah that you have in general. So hold that thought, because I think that thought is actually very helpful when it comes to understanding the Targum Onkelos. So the Targum Onkelos writes, consistently throughout this parsha, translates the word Shira as Tushbachta, a praise, like Shevach. It's very interesting. It's a tushbachto. It's a praise. I mean, if you would ask me, what is the one word that would summarize the Shira Sazinu? I would say it's more of a warning than a praise. I mean, in other words, the main theme of Shira Sazinu is that it's warning Klal Yisrael, if you don't do the word of Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to punish you. It's in a sense, it's kind of like a tochacha. you know, more so than a praise. Why is it a tushbachta? So I think, you know, in this one word of the Targum Onkelos is contained a tremendous, tremendous lesson of emunah, right? It's called a shira, it's called tushbachta, a praise, because in the end of the day, we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for anything that he brings upon us, whether we, you know, find it good, or again, as we often quote from the Chafetz Chaim, whether we find it bitter, right? There's a lot that goes on in the Shiras Hazino that's not so much to our taste. We'd rather it didn't happen. And yet it's called the Shira Tushpachta, a song of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we see, in the end of the day, we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we see his guiding hand running history and doing everything, even if in the moment, it's not something that necessarily gives us the warmest and best feeling. Halavai, we're coming off of Rosh Hashanah with all of its emunah, that we should be zochet to see the tushbachta that's implicit in the Shira Sarasino. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lezakos HaSistra, Lefikach Irbalah,